All right, folks, we need to vote. No, no more. We need to vote. We're going to start losing board members here. Again, what the motion is before us is to accept as modified this, the set of recommendations and guidelines for the establishment of the process to move to the hiring of the general managers, you know, where we need to hire them. Okay? Can we call the question?
Just in terms of the numbers?
No, we're not talking about numbers.
So how is it modified then?
How is it modified? It's modified that this is not a hard and fast proposal. This is a set of recommendations. It's modified that in the outreach and posting of the jobs, that ethnic press, community press, you know, broad outreach. The other modifications that were made. Okay? So, I'm moving to the vote. Can we do this by a show of hands? All those in favor of adopting this, please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. Is there anybody voting no? Any no votes? No. Any abstentions? No, it's unanimous. So, people locally with the executive director can get working on doing this. I know that Rob needs to go to the airport. I'm not sure about other people's schedules. Rob, do you need to leave right now, or do you have a few more minutes? Do you need to leave right this second, or do you have... Okay. We're going to have to keep moving, though, because it's not right on the agenda. I mean, you're not suggesting that we end the meeting, right? Okay, thank you. Well, let me just see what the... I also have a proposal for a guideline for our on-air policy. At our very first meeting, we looked at the gag rule at all our stations, and that remains in place. But that proposal, that resolution that we passed, was tied to the next board meeting doing certain things, etc. This question does need to be revisited. I think we can postpone it. The question of some discussion of the location of the national office is on the agenda. Discussion of our endorsement policy. We've been asked by one board member to be able to make some endorsements. We need to discuss how we do that. And then there was some board business like scheduling our future meetings, a commitment to report to the listeners, and then also a proposal around some programming related to the governance issues. And perhaps that needs to be handled another way also. Again, the on-air policy, I think we're going to need to postpone. We can circulate it, you know, via email and other ways to the board over the coming weeks. The national office question, I do think we should have some discussion on this today.
And
the question is, an endorsement policy, I would ask George as the main proponent of this issue, could I pass down that to the next agenda, to the next meeting? George, he's saying no. Okay, and obviously our meeting schedule we need to do. So why don't we do the question of the national office? Pete, are you?
The motion.
We need these mics up. Can you leave all the mics up? Can you just leave all the mics up? It helps us.
Hello.
Can you just leave them all up?
There we go.
Can you leave all the mics up? Okay, there's too much feedback. That's the problem.
The motion I'm putting forth to the national board is to commit to moving the Pacifica National Administrative and Finance Office from Washington, D.C. to Berkeley by the end of this year.
Okay, we have a few, I think some people on the board want to speak to this. Carol and then Marion.
I'd like to propose a friendly amendment that the motion be that the board commit to move the administrative and finance office back to Berkeley no later than the end of this year, but as soon as feasible.
I'll accept that.
Okay, so that's the language has been substituted. To by the end of this year, but as soon as feasible. Okay, Marion?
A couple of questions. One, does anybody have any idea what the cost implications are? What would it cost to move, recognizing we're in pretty bad shape financially now?
My understanding is that folks in Berkeley, Friends of Free Speech Radio, and I believe others, have committed to raise all the costs related to the move, so that we wouldn't have to expend any. I'm sure they have a lot of contributions from other parts of the country, but they have committed to that.
My concern is that this is a major decision. It seems to me maybe we ought to wait till the permanent board comes on board to make this decision about that. Just a question.
Please. Yes, it's a question.
You know, in terms of my concern about that, right. You know, it doesn't matter to me where the office is, moving to West Coast, East Coast, as long as it's functioning. That's what's more important to me. So,
Are there other comments on the board, Jabari?
Yeah. My major concern is this, as stated in New York, and I'll reiterate it here, and I hope people can just listen to what I'm actually saying, is there's some very functional and then there's some philosophical issues that I think we need to deal with. First of all, from the functional point of view, the finance office is not operational. The impact of the move from L.A. to Washington was catastrophic and hasn't been fixed. A move anywhere would be catastrophic and would probably entail at least 2, maybe 3 months to get it operational up to the point that it's operational now, and it's not completely operational now. Also, philosophically, there's no imperative, there's no operational imperative to do this in any time frame, and there's no legal imperative to do it. It's not a hot issue under the settlement agreement, and we haven't even dealt with all the hot issues under the settlement agreement. Also, philosophically though, and this is the greater one that I'm really concerned with, and that's the philosophical issue of whether we're going to be a process-oriented board or we're going to be a advocate constituency-motivated board. It is without question that there's an advocacy that has put together a movement to facilitate this action. But speaking on behalf of my stewardship as a board of directors that is looking at the total health and welfare of the foundation, I'm really concerned that we are setting a precedent that says if any one group of people get together a constituency and lobby hard to do something, that tail can wag the dog irrespective of the disruptive nature of the consequences of that action, and really without the consultation and input of people in the other areas. I mean, I understand the visceral emotional issue about how the ED office was moved from Berkeley, but the finance office was in LA. So if this action was merely to put things back into their original form, then the actuality of it would be to put the finance office back in L.A. where it came from. So there's a philosophical issue about power grabbing that really needs to come out on the table, because it's not to, it apparently on its face, this issue is not to write things the way they were before Bessie Wash did her little thing. It's to consolidate power at the national level in Berkeley. And we need to have a really open and honest discussion throughout the foundation about the ultimate governance structure of the foundation before we even start dealing with where particular officers sit and where particular offices sit, when we haven't determined what the eventual structure of the organization would look like. And that should come out through the deliberative process that we've already put in place to decide bylaws, to decide structure, to decide governance, to decide all of that. I would like all of these issues to come out through the process. See, I don't have a religious...
Right, I'm sorry, but the time is so
okay,
short here.
But my major point is, I want the process to create the answer. I don't want the answer to be created and then create a process to make that answer. And that's my major concern.
Okay, thanks. Right. David, and then Ray.
Yeah, I agree that we need to be process-oriented, but we're not just process-oriented. We're listener-oriented, and we're mission-oriented. And I think that it's important to remember that the idea of Pacifica is about not just how are we going to be in administration, but how are we going to be a part, and at the risk of sounding perhaps flaky, the spiritual fabric of our culture and our society here. And I think that we need to engage a stronger volunteer base. We need to engage a more militant approach towards how we're operating this foundation. I think we need to engage a more people-oriented approach. And if that means at times taking a leap of faith that we're going to have the support in Berkeley, in Northern California, to help make this move occur without not only not causing harm, but in fact creating a stronger base for this foundation to grow, then I think that's far more vital. I think we should not discount the visceral any more than we should discount the procedural. But I think here the visceral is not just evanescent. I think there's a real substance to the value of going back to Berkeley.
Okay. Ray?
Well, as people know, I voted against this resolution in New York City, mainly because I felt that there was no adequate discussion. Actually, there was literally no discussion of this issue in a formal sense on the board level. I heard somebody answering Jubai earlier saying that, well, we feel, Jubai said that this is not a hot issue, meaning referring to the settlement, and then somebody answered, well, this is a hot issue in Berkeley. Well, to me though, and that's why I agree with Jubai, it should be, the decision should be made not on the basis of emotions, although people clearly have and should have an attachment to this institution. Its initial location was in Berkeley. However, the decision should be made on what is best for the institution as a total, in total. And that's why, in a way, I'm concerned with the amendment that was suggested by Carol that we also move the financial component.
Madam Chair.
Okay, I'm
not finished. So I'm also concerned with having the center of the organization, the headquarters, placed anywhere among one of the listening areas that would really allow that section to overpower the others. One suggestion, what I've been thinking about is something similar to what the United Nations has, where the headquarters are in New York City, but there are serious subsections such as UNESCO, which are situated in different countries. Now, if we apply this to this model, I would vote against this motion if it maintains at this point an automatic move of the financial section to Berkeley. And however, if it is separated, I would vote for it. I would vote positively for it, not because of the emotional attachment that people have, but because this is clearly the area of New York City says where this institution can be best defended. And to me, that is enough of an argument.
Okay, Janice was next, and then myself, I'd like to call her.
Okay, we've had this discussion sort of all weekend, and I don't think it's just Berkeley area people that want to see this happen. And I think it's something that's felt throughout the network. And it's got to be somewhere. The office has got to be somewhere. So wherever the office is, does that mean that this particular area has more power than the other four signal areas? I think that that there is a point where emotion does have to have some role in what we do, and I think it is symbolic, and I think we ought to do it.
Yeah, I again would like to call myself on this issue. There may very well be people for whom this is primarily an issue of emotion or sentiment or whatever. That's not it for me. For me, this is, and just to be crystal clear about my agenda here, this is first and foremost a political concern. Washington, D.C. is a cesspool. I don't know what else to call it. I don't mean anything about, I'm not belittling the character or stature of any individuals who live and work in Washington. But there is a culture in Washington that is very, very dangerous. And certainly at this point, and I would say for many, many years, regardless of who controlled Congress and who was in the White House, that city is dominated by a right-wing culture. We don't need community-based, free speech, corporate-free radio to have our headquarters in Washington, D.C. I don't care if it's in Berkeley. I don't care if it's in Los Angeles. I don't care if it's in Topeka, Kansas. I do care that it not be in Washington. Given that, I think it makes sense, given the history and given the movement around this, I do think putting it in back in Berkeley is the logical place for it to go. I also, just two other quick things. One is that I don't think that this decision or any of our decisions are made solely because a group of people organize themselves and agitate us about them. At the same time, I think when a group of people organize themselves and agitate about that, we need to hear that. We need to listen to those voices. We need to take them seriously. We may reject it. We may end up with a different point of view, but we can't ignore those voices. We need to listen seriously to them. And then finally, my hearing of what was proposed here was that it be by the end of the year or as soon as feasible. I forget the exact language, which means I hear that by meaning not next week and not next month, but when things stabilize, when the finance office is in shape, when the systems are in place, and when an orderly move can be made, not like the move out of Berkeley to Washington was made, which was a very destabilizing effort, but do this in a way that further strengthens this organization.
Leslie, in terms of...
I'm sorry, Carol was next and then Marion.
There are two points I want to make. One is that we are a charitable trust. We raised money, and we have conducted a capital campaign in Berkeley to build the national headquarters as well as KPFA. We accepted money from our donors for a specific purpose. The move of the headquarters from Berkeley was a breach of trust that must be remedied. It's our duty as trustees to carry out the intent of our donors in building that building. Secondly, Ray, specifically to address your point about finances, you wouldn't vote for it if it included the finance, but you would vote for it if it didn't. I think they wouldn't necessarily have to move all together at the same time. It might be feasible to move the executive's office staff before the finance office was stabilized and ready to move, but the commitment to get them all moved, and I think in one place, is operationally probably more sensible. That's all I want to say. Operationally, I think it's sensible to have them together. It might not be that we would move them both at the same instant.
Okay, Marion was next.
Leslie, I know you didn't mean this, but it's the national office, a national Washington, D.C. that's a cesspool, not the local Washington, D.C.
No. Let me clarify what I meant. I didn't mean our office, and I certainly didn't mean our station, and I certainly don't mean our community of
Washington. And our local people there.
I think people who live and work in Washington who are progressive are heroic on the front line of this struggle. I'm talking about the institutional problems of the Congress and the FCC, et cetera, et cetera.
Also,
just to clarify that.
Would someone explain to me what are the advantages of moving to Berkeley over staying in Washington?
10,000.
Carol?
10,000 advantages, yes.
I think it will save the foundation money because the office space that we're paying rental monies on in Washington can be reduced. We won't need the basement anymore, so we can consolidate space. That'll save money. We own the building in Berkeley. That's one practical advantage. And philosophically or politically, I agree with Leslie. And as a trustee of a charitable trust that raised money for the specific purpose of housing our executive national office in Berkeley, I think we have an obligation to carry out the will of our donors. And on an emotional basis, I feel, and many people in Berkeley felt deeply violated by having the office wrenched out in the middle of the night, just as seriously as the people at BAI felt during the Christmas coup. It was indeed, for us, as deep a violation. And I hear voices around the community in all five listener areas who tend to agree.
And Sam, can we let Sam? Sam is the lab chair in Washington. Do you want to speak on this?
Yeah. I simply speak for myself. I think that the primary, I'm in principle for moving the headquarters back to Berkeley, and the primary reason for that in my mind is a very practical one, that Berkeley was able to get 10,000 people out in the streets and defend the network against a group of hijackers. I think that there are practical reasons to do it, and I think part of the resistance of it is that it's been demanded at so many protests in Berkeley that it's taken on an aura of religion, that it need not have that in order to be a prudent thing to do. I'm concerned about the timeline of things, and I'm concerned about, you know, indeed, I work at the National Press Building. It is a cesspool in Washington, D.C., I think that makes it imperative for this foundation to ensure that WPFW is used in a manner that will clean out that cesspool in as much as possible, and that onus is therefore on this board to ensure that happens in an expedited manner. I'm ambivalent about the move. I'm ambivalent about the timing of things. I'm very concerned that may not be done too quickly, and I'm a little unclear about the reasons in terms of the finance office. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other? Ray and then Teresa.
I just wanted to address the last point that Carol talked about. To me, there's a difference between the violation that occurred and finding a solution to it. Indeed, it was a violation. It was a grave one. However, if we had moved it to Washington, anywhere else, and we found out it was actually the most efficient way of running, doing business, would we want to reverse it just because it was taken there by accident? Well, there are many symbols, there are many ways of projecting symbols, and there are many symbols at work here. So to me, the solution in this case would be to prevent the violation from taking place again. But if the result of that violation turned out to be accidentally to be a better solution for us, would have kept the result and prevented the offense from being repeated. So I just wanted to make that clarification. I also think that people shouldn't have any illusion that because we are in California or in Alaska, that the outreach of this government would be short of whatever goal they're trying to achieve. I've never lived in Washington. I know it's a cesspool on a political level. I'm not sure what it means as an impact over the functioning of Pacifica. And I know that if those people decide tomorrow, or they have decided already, to change the way we want this place, this institution to work, they will reach us and do it no matter where we are. They're in Afghanistan now, and Pacifica being in Berkeley will not be far enough. So I'd like to, that's why I want this discussion to be done on the basis of the merit to the institution. And I've already said that I would vote for it for the reason that Sam has stated, because this is the place where it can be defended best. And to me, that is enough. However, I'd like to make a motion to separate the two ideas and to have them presented, the move of the headquarters and the move of the financial institutions presented as two separate motions.
Sam, just requesting one more second.
Here. One more second, literally. One other imperative, I think, is that there be a major news infrastructure done in conjunction with WPFW. There are no reporters from Pacifica who regularly attend news conferences, ask the tough questions in Washington, D.C. The major opportunity. So I just want to make sure that obviously a major news infrastructure would be in Washington, D.C., staying true to the mission of Pacifica and doing that work.
Okay. Ray made a proposal that we separate.
I don't know if we can add that to the amendment.
No, I don't think so. But I think the request has been made to separate the issues of the executive offices, the administrative offices, I don't even know what we call it, from the finance offices.
Madam Chair.
Well, some people think we can't, some people think we can. I mean, historically, they were separated. They were separated. So we can't, yeah.
I would not accept that.
Okay. Kate, as the maker of the motion, does not accept that. The way we would have to proceed, if folks could just hang in there for a second, is that if Ray wants to push on this, then you have to make an amendment, I believe.
And vote on that amendment.
You want to separate the question.
Would it be a separate motion?
Separate motion.
Okay. Apparently, I'm sorry, Pete, you can't do that. It's not a debatable item. Any member of the board can move to divide the question. So first we vote on the administrative offices, and then we vote on the finance offices. That's the way it works. Okay? So, I'm sorry, Teresa. Teresa had her hand up before, I think.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to ask about who the word when it's feasible. I want to know. This is something that Carol added. Who decides when it's feasible, and how is that decided? I'd like that clarified.
I believe our executive staff would be asked to make a recommendation or give us a report, give the board a report that they believe at X date. Not now, I give a report.
And then we vote on it?
I hope so.
And then we vote on it.
Yeah, I believe that would be appropriate, generally different from how it happened before, but it would be appropriate for the National Board to make the final decision. But that it would be based on the recommendation from the executive staff.
Madam Chair,
George is next.
Parliamentary.
I'm sorry, Marion, on the parliamentary.
My understanding of what has to happen is that Ray's motion was to remove the two.
Separate them.
Right. We have to vote on his motion.
No, my understanding from the parliamentarian is that that's not a discussable item, and we don't have to vote on it. It automatically happens.
Yeah. He's an error on that. Anytime a motion is made as a substitute motion,
it's not a substitute motion. It's just calling for the separation of these items. I don't think we need to get stuck on this. Now, let me just ask. I'm sorry, but several people signed up for public comments. Based on the discussion you've heard on this board, do you think the board doesn't understand the issues and that there's something new? And we know that people feel passionately about this, but can we ask you to please give us the few more minutes that we have for this meeting to move this and to just step down. Is that okay? Can we please do that? Ted is saying no. He's insisting on voting, on speaking. You have 15 seconds.
I'm not going to relinquish the floor. You recognize me.
I'll let him just make his 15-second comment, George.
If the headquarters had not been in Berkeley when the station KPFA was shut down, we never would have gotten it back because we had demonstrations of tens of thousands of people.
Okay, that's a very good example of something we already know. So, George, next.
I want to make sure I understand what's going to happen procedurally.
We're going to vote to move the administrative offices. No, yes or no to member of the administrative offices to Berkeley by the end of the year when feasible. Then we're going to vote to move the finance offices to Berkeley by the end of the year when feasible.
Secondly, it's going to require.
As recommended by our executive staff, we don't know now when it's feasible.
Secondly.
Excuse me, please.
Secondly.
George is speaking.
Secondly, it's going to require our vote
to approve the actual move later on at another meeting. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes, that the we'll be asking the executive staff to bring to the board a recommendation at a future date about, you know, determining, explaining why they think it's now feasible or when they think it would be feasible, that we would then give the final okay on. Okay? Does that answer it? Can we move to the vote? Okay. No, Carol has
that. That was not my understanding.
I'm sorry.
I don't think this board should vote again. I think we make the commitment, and as soon as our executive staff believes it's feasible, but not later than the end of the year, the office just moves. You know, this board can only meet every often, and we have very tight agendas. Let's make the commitment, trust our staff to get it together and move it.
Okay, what I want to propose, what we're going to do is we're going to vote. We've separated the issues. We're going to vote on the proposal as it was given to us, which was, and with the substitution wording, that we vote on the question of moving the office back to Berkeley by the end of the year, as soon as it is feasible. And then we're going to vote on the finance part of it. If after that vote, if anybody wants to make any other motions relevant to this, they can.
Can I suggest that the order of the vote be reversed? Because I have stated that my decision as to how vote on moving the headquarters is based on how the vote goes on the financial office. But that vote will be moot if I'm asked to decide whether to move the headquarters or not without knowing how the second vote will take place.
Oh, my Lord.
Can we have the vote for the financial office first?
Why? I don't understand why not.
I'm sorry,
folks. On behalf of myself and the parliamentarian, I do need to apologize to the board and everybody else. He just did a more thorough look at it. The motion or the suggestion, the motion to divide is not debatable, but we do vote on it. Okay. We don't debate it. We don't discuss whether or not to divide it. We move right to a vote. So the first vote that we are going to take is whether to divide these two issues.
Okay.
Right? If in fact that succeeds, then we'll do one and then the other.
Madam Chairperson, just for
okay,
the record.
Okay, we got that? We got to move ahead. We got to move ahead here, right? The question that has been called is, by show of hands, please indicate if you support the motion to divide the substantive motion. Please raise your hand if you support the motion to divide. One. Okay, Teresa. I'm sorry, George. George, Teresa, Jabari. Ray, Carol, support the motion to divide.
That's
not a majority. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5. And all those who are opposed to the motion to divide? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the motion does not carry. So the motion will now be divided. Okay? So. I understand. So then we move to the question, the substantive question, that is to move the offices to back to Berkeley by the end of the year, when the offices to Berkeley by the end of the year, when feasible, no, and by the end of the year. Okay? Can we again, by a show of hands, indicate all who are in favor of that motion? Or do a roll. Let's do a roll call. Can I see the list? I'm sorry. Okay. Teresa Allen.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes. George Barnstone. On the move of the offices, George.
I heard you. Thank you.
George, I'm sorry. Did you vote?
I mean it for a second.
We'll come back. Marion Barry.
I pass for a minute.
Passing for a minute. Pete Bramson.
Yes.
Yes. Janice K. Bryant.
Yes.
David Furtick.
Yes.
Ray LaForest.
No.
No. Rob's not here. Carol Spooner.
Yes.
Carol Spooner is yes. Jabari Zakia. No. George Barnstone. George, Marion Barry.
Well, what did George do?
No, Marion. We have two people who haven't voted yet. I haven't voted. I'll vote.
What did George do?
Yes, I vote yes. Okay, George, you have to vote yes, no, or abstaining. George?
Please bear with me.
Yes, no, or abstaining. Please, folks, please, it doesn't help. George? Marion, are you ready to vote?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, Marion's abstaining. No, you said that wrong. We'll announce the vote when it's done. But, George, I'm sorry that I don't mean to put pressure on you, but we need to get your vote.
Listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board, right to you live from Los Angeles.
George, I'm sorry, but...
Please give me 1 minute, please.
I would like to give you 1 minute, but I can give you like 15 seconds at this point. It's really been about 5 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, George. Thank you, George. Okay, folks. Okay, folks. Okay, but please, everybody, please. Okay. Thank you, George, for voting. Thank you, George, for casting your vote. Can we just get the vote tally?
The motion carried by a vote 7 yes, 2 no, and 1 abstention, which is a 2/3 majority vote of the board, doesn't have to go to the judge. I'm very relieved.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. There are two other items that we need to do. One is our meeting schedule, and the other is the endorsement issue. George has distributed to us several resolutions or several items for consideration about making endorsements. George, do you want to open that up? You want to say a word or two?
Yes.
We are
a progressive community-based radio network. It is a travesty, an injustice, and a badge of shame that our nation kills its own citizens in what it calls justice. We must take a position against this madness. I strongly urge our precious board here to adopt a resolution which Sister Helen Prejean's organization has submitted, resolving that the Pacifica Foundation calls on the governors and the state representatives of the states with death penalty statutes and the Bush administration and our representatives in Congress to enact and adopt legislation imposing a moratorium on executions at least until policies and procedures are implemented which ensure that death penalty cases are administered fairly and impartially in accordance with basic due process, eliminate the risk that innocent persons may be executed, and thirdly, prevent the execution of the mentally retarded and persons who were under the age of 18 at the time of their offenses. Be it further resolved that copies of this resolution shall be forwarded to governors and state representatives of the states with death penalty statutes, the President of the United States, and our representatives in Congress.
Thank you, George.
I second that.
Thank you. I would like to actually, George, if I might, suggest another way to approach this. I've been considering, since you first raised the issue in the January meeting about us as a progressive organization lending our name as an endorser to various activities, campaigns, projects, etc. I've been giving this a lot of thought and have actually done a little research about our own history. I believe that we as the Pacifica Foundation should not make endorsements. We, according to Matthew Lazar, our historian, we never have. The Pacifica Foundation does not make endorsements. We are also in large part, a news organization, gathering and giving news. And I think it's a nuanced, a complicated thing for a news organization to make endorsements. What we can do, though, is prepare and distribute via our airwaves editorials. I would rather see this organization take an editorial position that is aired on our airwaves, calling for the abolition of the death penalty. I think that's a stronger position than calling for a moratorium. We could call for a moratorium as a first step toward the complete abolition of the death penalty. But I think that that's the way we should go. That is, when there are pressing items of, urgency to the communities that we serve and to the country, and to the world for that matter, that we have agreement on this board on, that we write up and air through our airwaves an editorial position as opposed to doing the endorsement route. So I don't know, George, if you would accept that as a substitute.
No.
Okay. So then we have to consider both.
Leslie, our bread and butter is progressive politics here. And we all abhor the death penalty. And if we really are true to ourselves, we're going to take a position. Bear with me 1 second, please.
Right.
I mean, for example, just yesterday, when there was a discussion about Women's Day or Women's Month, and Dan mentioned, that we take a position on this, and everyone chimed in saying, yes, that's really great. There's no, everyone thought that was great. Yet now, when I'm bringing this issue up, there's opposition. And is wrong, y'all. This is just wrong.
Can I clarify, George? I believe I'm suggesting that we do something which I think is stronger. That there's a vehicle available for us that I think is stronger in taking a clear position. However the final wording is, that I agree that this institution, I hope that everybody on this board agrees that we are in opposition to the death penalty. If we are, that I think it's a stronger statement of that position to actually have as an editorial position our opposition to air that on our 5 stations, that this is the editorial position.
That's good, but in addition to that, like Sister Helen Prejean's organization uses, they list, we're organizations that are aligned with it in opposition to the death penalty.
Okay.
And, we need to add our name to that list if we really are true to ourselves. And we should be.
Okay, so I understand, George, that's fine. So we have we have the proposal from George, and then we also have a proposal from me to do a poll.
I'm saying let's do yours as well.
What I'm saying. There are two proposals. Two proposals.
I want to include yours, but not the exclusion of mine.
Okay, I hear you. We're not excluding yours. Well, if there's more discussion, we should hear it. Otherwise, we should move to vote on George's proposal. On the resolution brought forth by George and seconded by Teresa, and then I would make my proposal as well. Okay? Is there more comments? David?
Well, I was going to, just for clarification, is there another proposal being propounded by the chair that the relative to the position of the foundation being promulgated against the death penalty?
Well, my position is that we, the proposal I would make is that when we feel strongly on issues of concern to our communities and our country, that we be prepared to issue editorial statements. I would like us to consider language, and I don't have exact language, so we could do that at the next meeting. You know, we could circulate language before then. But the motion that I will put forth after we vote on George's motion is that we take editorial positions on this and other pressing issues.
Let's do that as well.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
The reason I mention is because I'm greatly concerned, as I expressed in New York, that if this is unprecedented for us to take an endorsement on a specific political or legislative matter, that I would fear the floodgates of endorsements down the road, and I expressed that before. But I think that we need to, absolutely reassert, and I would urge that we have a motion, insofar as this motion is unsuccessful, that we nonetheless expressly assert our opposition to the death penalty and instruct the network to reaffirm broadly our opposition to the death penalty. And so that Sister Prejean and others can make use of that similarly to this. Thank you.
That's fine. Carol?
One concern I do have is that if we were to endorse something that then was used for political lobbying that might have an effect, I don't know whether it would be us directly lobbying, but that does have an effect on whether contributions to Pacifica are tax deductible as a 501c3 organization. I don't know if this is within the definition of lobbying or not.
We
send copies of the endorsement to all of our legislators and the governor. And I don't know whether it's within the definition, but I would think that if the motion passes, we need to just make certain that we don't cross the boundary.
Janice.
There's something circuitous about this, because the reason we know about Sister Helen Prejean is because of Pacifica. I mean, she's part of us, so I don't know what we're saying. We even say we endorse her. I mean, everybody here, that's how we know, with Amy doing with us doing shows with her. I got her phone number in my address book right now.
Let me just also, just as briefly as a footnote to this and Carol's issue, my understanding is that tax-deductible, tax-exempt organizations, 501c3 organizations, are allowed a certain percentage of their annual budget to be used for lobbying purposes. Since we don't do lobbying, I doubt that this would, you know, jeopardize that. But it is certainly something that we do have to monitor. To keep that, I forget it's like 10% of your budget or 15% or something, whatever the exact amount is. So can we move there is a particular resolution that George has brought forth that we are being asked to vote on. Once that vote is done, there will be another motion put forth, or maybe more than one.
Remember, and I'm willing to accept yours as inclusive of mine to the extent that you don't, that your motion does not call for the doing yours to the exclusion of mine.
I put mine forth at. I would like it to be. Let me be very, very clear, because there's been some notion that we haven't been honest and forthright on this board. I will vote against your motion, George. I do not think that is the way to proceed. I just want to be clear about that. So what I'm suggesting is another way to proceed. Right. If your motion passes, then it will pass and we will sign on. Right. I'm just talking about how I will cast my one vote. Okay.
What I'm saying to you is I would like to include yours and mine to the extent.
No. They are two separate motions. They really are.
George, you can combine hers with yours and make a new motion.
Okay. I'm going to amend my motion to include yours. But I mean, extract anything out that says to the exclusion of my motion.
George, I really think that's not doable. You put a motion out to pass a resolution. Can we vote on that?
I just amended my own resolution. I can do that.
I can leave
Okay, fine. Then we'll do that.
The amended motion, if I could restate it, is that we endorse the organization and the resolution submitted by George, and that we also prepare an editorial as outlined by Leslie and air it on all five stations, calling for the abolition of the death penalty.
No, I didn't say endorse the organization. That was never part of my language.
I mean,
the resolution. The resolution.
Your resolution. The resolution.
Okay, that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so we will vote on that.
Call the question.
Call the question. Thank you. Should we do a roll call or roll call? Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me again.
Can I call the name?
Yes, sure.
All right. Teresa Allen?
No.
George Barnstone?
Yes.
Marion Barry?
Si.
Yes. Okay. Pete Bramson?
No.
Janice K. Bryant?
No.
Dave Furtick?
No.
Ray LaForest?
No.
Rob is not here. Carol Spooner? No. Jabari Zakia? Leslie Kagan?
No. So, the tally? This is Spirit Mike.
You people ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Is there someone...
No, we're not done. We're not done. Sorry. Look, can we have Carol read the vote?
The motion failed. There were three yeses, six noes, and one abstention.
Okay. Now, I would like to again put my motion forth. I know it's a little out of the ordinary for the chair to make a motion, but I would like to make a motion. A two-part motion. One, that this board reinstitute the policy, which we've done in the past, the foundation has done in the past, of periodically addressing issues of social concern, of concern to our constituent listeners and communities that we come from and to the country via editorials that we make. That's part A. Part B, that we prepare, although I'm sorry I don't have the exact language on this now, that we prepare an editorial in opposition to the death penalty.
Second.
Is there conversation, discussion about this, or call the question?
Call the question.
Okay, can we do another roll call vote then?
I'll call the names. Yes. Teresa Allen.
Yes.
George Barnstone.
Can you please repeat the motion?
The motion is that we reinstitute the Pacifica policy of making editorials on major social issues of concern, and two, that we, B, that we prepare and air an editorial in opposition to the death penalty, wording to be worked out.
I vote yes.
Sorry. Marion Barry.
Yes.
Janice Bryant.
Pete.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete.
Yes.
Janice Bryant.
Yes.
Dave Furtick.
You bet.
Yes. Ray LaForest.
Yes.
Carol Spooner votes yes. Jabari Zakia. Yes. Chair Leslie Kagan.
Yes.
It's unanimous.
Okay, there's one other agenda item that we must do, and that is, when are we meeting again?
No, there's one more resolution.
What?
There's one more resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry, George. Okay, if we could get that out. What's the second resolution, George?
Some constituents in Houston asked that I ask the board to pass a resolution calling for a closure of the gun show loophole, which allows guns to be purchased at gun shows by collectors and avoid any checks in the backgrounds. And those 20% of guns that are found by the government, recovered, are firearm. 20% gun shows the second leading source of illegal firearms recovered in gun show trafficking investigations, and these guns represent 20% of the total recovered firearms from trafficking cases between 1996 and 1998. And the resolution is therefore resolved that the Bush administration and our representatives in Congress enact and adopt legislation requiring anyone who purchases a firearm at a gun show to pass a background check before he and or she can buy a gun. We urge members of the U.S. Congress to pass legislation to close the gun show loophole at the next session of the legislature, and be it further resolved that copies of this resolution shall be forwarded to the President of the United States and our representatives in Congress.
Okay, is there a second?
I'd like to move to table it.
Is second? If there's no second, then it's not on the table. Okay, I'm sorry, George, it's not on the table. Okay, the
are
next...
Are y'all really progressives?
Thank you. Can we move on, folks? I'm sorry. The next, and really it has to be because of the time pressures we're under, order of business, is our meeting schedule. And I don't know if we can do this or not. I just circulated to the board here a proposed schedule meeting, the weekend of June 21st, the weekend of September 20th, the weekend of December 6th, and the weekend of March 22nd. I'm sorry, June 21st in Berkeley, September 20th in Houston, December 6th in Washington, and March 22nd in New York. And there is, I know, a concern. This will put us on a three-month schedule of meetings. I know there is a concern that since we did not adopt a budget at this meeting, do we have to meet earlier? Carol, do you want to speak to that question?
Because we have not approved a budget, I think that if we wait 3 months before we adopt a budget, we will have completed 9 out of 12 months of our fiscal year without a budget, and that's irresponsible. I think we have to meet in 2 months. Sorry, I don't want to meet in 2 months, but I think we must.
I'm sorry, is there somebody on the board who wants to speak to the question of the meeting schedule?
Is the question to meet in May instead of June?
Carol, do you have a particular weekend that you want to suggest in May?
The second weekend in May. It would substitute for June.
Do you have the dates actually?
No, I don't have a calendar. Does anybody know what the second weekend in May is?
No, I'm sorry, folks. I haven't called on you.
Second weekend in May would be
what's
May
the date?
10th.
Just a minute.
Okay, May
11th, Friday.
May 10th, 11th, 12th. In Berkeley.
When are fund drives?
When are fund drives? Fund drives are in May. And that would be a hardship, a difficulty.
If there are fund drives, I don't want to meet that weekend. Is there another week that it would work?
Why would it be difficult?
It'd be difficult for our managers to come. We would hope it'd be difficult for our lab chairs to come because the labs will be very involved in the fund drives. So it would be difficult. We got calendars. Thanks, Rashida. We're just trying to figure out the earliest meeting. Does somebody know what the range of dates are on the fund drives? Or are they scattered around in May? Valerie, do you know? Valerie, do you have a sense of the dates for the May fund drives? Mike. So they'll be basically the whole month of May?
And I think the other stations, they can answer, too. But it was always, you know, schedule it so we finish up by Memorial Day. It's very important that we be there.
I'll withdraw my motion. Let's do it in June.
Well, can we do the budget work so that we have delivered on that outside of board meeting relationship?
Well, let's explore that. Let's see what we can do. The budget work is, you know, looking at, you know, budgets and a lot of detail and stuff. So if we can do it on the phone, fine. It may be difficult. It may be impossible. But certainly the process can be moved ahead. The finance committee can move it ahead. You know, information can be shared with the board, you know. So, okay, so then we go back to this proposal, putting us on a three-month schedule. Again, I put a little addendum to this that we need to double-check that none of these dates are conflicts with major holidays, you know, or anything like that. I did an initial look, and it seemed to be clear. But so, do I hear a motion to accept this schedule for the board meetings?
Second.
Is there any more debate on this? No. So can we call the question on it?
Well,
whole question. Okay, all in favor of accepting this calendar of meetings and schedules?
Leslie, yes. is it just this written calendar, yes. Or does it include May?
No, it's... Okay, 6th, 7th, and 8th of December. There's a typo there, I'm sorry. It's just for the record. The next meeting would be June 21st, 22nd, 23rd in Berkeley, California. The next meeting after that would be September 20th, 21st, and 22nd in Houston, Texas. The following meeting would be December 6th, 7th, and 8th in Washington, D.C. And then the following meeting would be March 22nd, 23rd, 24th in New York. And that should be, I believe, the last meeting of this interim board. Phew. So, can we vote? Can we vote on that? All in favor, please raise your hands. I can't see. Any objection to that schedule? No objection. So that carries unanimously. David.
Before we conclude, I wanted to say a few words. First of all, the extraordinary work by the KPFK staff, archives staff, that have weathered some incredible storms, and the extraordinary devotion and the competency of the volunteers and the organizers in Southern California are just awesome. You just point them in the right direction, they point you in the right direction, and the job got done. And I really think that we need to recognize that the people that did all the transportation, the harmony, the food, the signs, and the subscribers coming out to the meeting is spectacular. And I think that you all deserve a big hand of applause for that. I also need to note that I'm going to talk for a minute more, but we got to get the heck out of here when I'm finished. But I want to say something.
No. When you're done, you're done. There are two or three other people have
spoken. I understand. I want to say something, though, because there are a lot of people without whom Pacifica would have been finally stolen, sold out, and destroyed. But here in Southern California, and there are many, I want to note one person in particular. There's no Pacifica activist who is more devoted, who has spent more sweat and tears for this struggle, working for years, organizing and leading the first lawsuit. David Adelson has tirelessly... tirelessly sacrificed... I want to say, David Adelson, okay, that's enough. Don't stroke him too much.
Really?
I mean, he's a good guy, he's open, but don't let his head get too big. But I want to say this, that decision strategies...
I'd like to say goodbye, because this will be the last board meeting at which I'm allowed chair. My term ends in 3 months, so...
Exactly, and I wanted to say decision strategies. David Adelson is leaving the lab, but... Don't close your file on him yet.
Can you recognize me for a moment?
Janice. I have a request for the listener community and for all of us. I really loved that National Day of Programming we did, because it was such a good feeling, like we were all working together. And this weekend, you know, we really, there's not a Mary Frances Berry within sight here, and there's nobody here trying to do anything to anybody else. And I hope when you go back to your listening areas that some of you who seem to see us as adversaries would really think it over and try to change that approach with dealing with what we're trying to do, because we really do want the same thing you do. And one reason we're really doing stuff with affiliates, and nobody's mentioned her, is Dina Colbert. She really made that really important to us in New York. And we really, it wouldn't happen without everybody, but the affiliates were really, really strong and helped a lot. So really, thank you so much.
Yes. I wanna echo Janice's comments. Let's try to work together rather than in opposition. And the final thing I want to say is that we did have on our agenda and ran out of time proposal for programming that was generated by listeners working together. They have worked exhaustively to come up with very comprehensive proposals, including CDs. And I am devastated that we were not able to consider it, and we can't, and I apologize.
But actually, let me just say, though, we don't have time today to consider it. This is very important. It relates to the whole issue of how the questions related to bylaws, related to lab elections, related to governance, how that's going to be communicated to listeners via the airwaves, not the other venues that we're talking about, but the airwaves. I think we need to ask, again, our executive staff to look at these proposals, to talk to us, to talk to the two proposals that we have, to figure out how this can be. And I know the general managers have already been informed. They know about these efforts and the pilots that have been put together, that the general managers and the executive staff work with the groups that are working on this to put it into place. I apologize that we just don't really have the time to discuss that here. No, we really, I'm sorry, we can't do
it. If you want to discuss this, meet me afterwards. I'll be on the lawn, and maybe if anyone's interested in the program proposal, we can meet out front and then maybe have coffee or something and discuss it and take advantage of us being here together. The name of the program is Pacifica Matters, a Culture for Democracy, and I've got some stuff.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, all of you who have worked on this. Thanks, I'm sorry again. Ray?
I really want to thank the people of this city for the welcome they have extended to us. In Houston, we had a great time. I thought it was Southern hospitality. Obviously, they don't have a monopoly on making people feel at home. And I really thank you very much for that. I'm also sorry that we didn't could get to the discussing the proposal, specifically because it has something to do very clearly about how we're going to inform the public. As to what how important issues are and to have their input. I feel very confident that we're on the right track and that we'll be distracted here and there, but the victory will be ours. And this tool that we need to fight the struggle long term is going to be ours truly and in a democratic way. Thank you for sharing
my
time.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. As we wrap up this meeting, again, I want to thank everybody who came out, people who traveled from long distances and short distances to be here with us. I encourage you to clean up whatever garbage is around your seat and leave the auditorium as clean as we found it. I also, again, want to thank everybody on the board for the hard work that everybody did this weekend, as well as the general managers and the lab chairs and the lab members. As Ray just said, and as we've been saying all weekend, we have taken tremendous steps in this struggle, and we continue to take more steps. So go back home and do all that work that we all need to be doing.
Leslie Kagan, thank you for running an incredible meeting. Thank you, Leslie.
A fearless leader.